The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Friday, March 8th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A mix of sun and clouds today. A high 54, so the sun shines back. The weekend, kind of a mixed bag. Saturday, clouds in the morning, showers in the afternoon, high 45. And then Sunday will be nicer, though. Sun and clouds, high 52. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 40 and clear in Oyster Bay out on Long Island. It's 37 and clear in Sayreville down in New Jersey. And it is 39 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We have so much to get to as we work our way up. 6 o'clock hour, Sid and friends in the morning. Did you watch the State of the Union last night? Of course, the biggest audience the president will get, likely maybe minus the debates, if there are debates, ahead of the elections. So an important night for the president as he made his way to the U.S. Capitol last night. He passed a huge contingent of pro-Palestinian protesters.
We do not agree that corporations get to have more rights than us and the people in Gaza. Shame!
Shame!
They blocked, they tried to block the motorcade for a while. There were some arrests, but president then did eventually make it to the U.S. Capitol to address what was, I would best call it a raucous third State of the Union address. Maybe one of his more important speeches of his entire career. He had to be up there to show that he wasn't the old man that some people say he is at 81 years old. His list of objectives last night, tout his accomplishments in office, look ahead to a second term agenda. He hit all sort of the hot button issues for Democrats, Roe v. Wade being one of them.
There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that.
So, of course, he was interrupted by applause by Democrats a lot. There's a lot of screaming going on, and we're going to get into that because it was brought home, some of that screaming last night. He also spoke about the economy.
Investing in all America, in all Americans, to make every sure everyone has a fair shot, and we leave no one behind. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does.
All right. So some of the talk, too, of course, last night is the mess that continues in the Middle East.
The leadership of Israel, I say this, humanitarian assistance cannot be a secondary consideration or a bargaining chip. Protecting and saving innocent lives has to be a priority. As we look to the future, the only real solution to the situation is a two-state solution over time.
So That was part of what he said about Israel. Then he talked about the death toll among Palestinians and quoted the number that the Gaza Hamas Authority gives out, which is, I think, a 30,000 number. And here's what it sounded like as he gave out that number last night.
More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas.
Now, did you hear that in the middle? Listen again.
More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed.
Says who? Do you hear that? Says who? Do you know who that is? Yeah, that's our own Sid Rosenberg, who even told us yesterday on the air that he wasn't going to be able to sit through lies about the economy, about other things. But he said the thing that really would set him off his rocker would be anything having to do with Israel. And so, yes, as the president talked about that death toll,
more than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed. Most of
that's
whom
Sid
are not Hamas.
Yes. So the sergeant of arms and some security people then rushed up to his part of the gallery. He, of course, had been invited by a local congressman to sit in the gallery last night and told him he had to leave. And, of course, he's going to have a whole lot more about this coming up at 6 o'clock. But here's what Sid had to say last night after he was thrown out of the State of the Union for saying those two words. Says who? That's what he screamed when Joe Biden talked about the death poll in Gaza.
This is my first State of the Union tonight, and boy, it turned out to be epic. At one point, President Biden actually quoted figures given out by the Palestinian Health Group, whatever they're called, and he said 30,000 Palestinians are dead. And in a moment of silence in the chamber, I screamed, says who? Which was followed by about three security guys and Secret Service rushing into the chamber, grabbing me by the arm and telling me to leave. And I said, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. Those children in their white outfits, like kindergartners, are yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. I said two words. So says who? I'm not leaving. He said, sir, if you don't leave, you're under arrest. So eventually I did leave. They gave me a warning. They didn't arrest me. So I'm outside this beautiful place with Anthony D'Esposito and Nick Langworthy. But I'll say this. Did Biden lie? All night. Israel, chai. We love you, Israel. And I do it again next time.
So I was watching it last night, the State of the Union, with my wife, and there was a ton of interruptions, by the way, last night. Now, the State of the Union has become sort of this crazy event. And I didn't catch that, but Lou, your girlfriend was watching the State of the Union last night, and she actually woke you up to tell you that she thought she heard Sid yell something out during the State of the Union.
She says, I think I heard Sid. I think I heard him. And I had already crashed already, went
right
to sleep, and I went, you'd heard what? She said, yeah. It had to be him. I heard somebody yell something.
Wow. So that's amazing that she was actually able to figure out that that was his voice, because it was only, you know, 2 seconds of him yelling out, says who.
I have to confirm it with her later, but I think she came in right and says, I think I heard.
WABC News Time 509. There was a time when you disagreed with the president. You just sat on your hands and you didn't applaud him. But that has changed. I don't remember when. It's been a while already. You had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene last night screaming when the president mentioned Laken Riley. Of course, she was the Georgia nursing student who was killed allegedly by a migrant who had come from Venezuela. So she screamed out during the State of the Union last night.
Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Yeah, by the way, if you heard that, he actually called her Laken Riley.
Laken Riley.
Yeah, okay, what's Laken? But then there was a heckler who shouted at the president, too. He is a Gold Star father of a fallen Marine, was upset about what had happened to his son. He screamed out as well during last night's State of the Union.
Today, when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
Yeah, so that was Stephen Nikoy. His son, Lance Corporal Kareem Nicoy, was killed by a suicide bomber outside Kabul's international airport while trying to process evacuees from the Biden administration's botched Afghanistan withdrawal back in August of 2021. It's hard to watch that last night. He was taken out of the chambers just like Sid was. He was given a $50 ticket, so none of these people were jailed last night. And then, of course, you have the response has now become the big thing, the Republican response, Democrat response, depending on who's in the White House. So, of course, Republicans last night. It was Alabama Senator Katie Britt giving the response to the State of the Union last night.
One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch.
She spoke from Montgomery, Alabama, says Americans deserve a leader who isn't dithering and diminished.
President Biden just doesn't get it. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable.
The first term Alabama Republican is the youngest woman in the Senate. And then there was this new video that came out yesterday before the State of the Union. It showed President Biden getting advice from the State of the Union speech from actors who have played the president. So you had Michael Douglas, Gina Davis, Bill Pullman, Tony Goldwyn, Morgan Freeman, all people who have played the president.
My advice is just keep telling us how you're working for us and building hope.
One thing it always bears remembering, there's no crying in politics.
Well, what I hope is my politics doesn't make anybody else cry.
Love and compassion as a leader are strengths. They're not weaknesses and are key to your character. So let that shine through in your speech. And don't forget to save a dance for the First Lady in the
next group. Okay. And then expelled former Congressman George Santos, he was there last night. And I guess there's this rule that if you served in Congress and have not been expelled for life, he's been expelled, but I guess until he's convicted, they can't keep him off the floor. So he was able to mingle with the Congress members last night on the Congress floor. And by the way, he says he's going to run again. He wants to run. You know, he lost a seat, of course, expelled from Congress in the 3rd District. And now, of course, you have the Democrat Tom Suozzi, who won that seat just a couple weeks back. He says he would like to face off in the 1st District against Republican Nick LaLota, who's the Republican congressman from that part of Long Island. So he announced last night that he's running. So there you go. Crazy night. I just spent 13 minutes on the State of the Union. I don't know that I've ever done that in my career. Usually it's a couple bites and then you move on to the next story. But what a wild night it was in Washington. And make sure you're listening, of course, 6 o'clock this morning. Sid Rosenberg will be here, actually live from Washington, D.C. He'll tell you all about sitting in that gallery last night at the State of the Union and then being kicked out for saying the words, says who. I'll be excited to hear what he has to say. 514. Let's go down to Texas. A private investigator hired by the city of Uvalde to do a deep dive on the Robb Elementary School shooting says there was just so many failures by the officers that day that 19 students, 2 teachers were murdered. Jesse Prado says the biggest problem was with communication.
Chief of Police Arredondo was on one side of the building and many other officers were on the north side of the hallway, but there was no communication as to a game plan.
Yeah, so he blames a lack of training, of lack of equipment. If the SWAT team had a ballistic shield, he says that would have allowed officers to breach the classrooms faster.
He would make phone calls, but the officers had no way of knowing what was being planned or what was being said.
And Jesse Prado says that police radios would not work in the school. That meant the officers were showing a blind at the moment, and that contributed to those deaths.
They had no idea what they were facing when they got here, until somebody went outside of the building to get on the radio to request help.
Yeah, so that done by a private investigator. 515, the belt tightening underway this morning on Miami Beach ahead of what's expected to be the first 2 peak weekends of spring break. It seems Florida really doesn't want the spring breakers anymore.
We are taking all the measures, all the stops out.
Yeah, so it's just been, they've had just chaos there in the past couple spring breaks. Miami Beach Mayor Steve Miner says that they're instituting all these things, like $100 to park your car in the garage. It'd be $500 if you're towed away. They really don't want the chaos. They would love the money and the revenue, but they say these spring breakers who come down during college break have caused all kinds of chaos.
Basically, from South Beach all the way up to 42nd Street, if you're not a resident or an employee who works in Miami Beach, you will not be able to park here.
Yes, so they're trying to keep them out. We'll have to see if they're able to. 515, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Friday. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Happy Friday. Good morning to you as well, Noam Layden. Start here on the floor in the NBA. The Nets fell in Detroit 118-112 to the very lowly 10-win Pistons. Dennis Schroeder had a season-high 31 points for Brooklyn, which had won 3 of 4. Lonnie Walker scored 21. The Nets allowed 13 offensive rebounds and 23 second-chance points. Brooklyn got as close as 5 down the stretch, but couldn't get over the hump and mount to the eventual loss. So you still banged up Knicks. We'll be back out there tonight at the Garden. Set to welcome in the Orlando Magic for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. On the ice in San Jose, Bo Horvat opened a red-hot Islanders 4-goal second-period outburst with his 25th goal en route to New York's 7-2 rout of the San Jose Sharks last night. Good for their fifth straight win. Kyle MacLean, Matthew Barzal, and Sebastian Aho also struck in the second period with the goals coming in just over a five-minute span. No Dobson, Alexander Romanov, and Anders Lee also scored for the Isles. And Ilya Sorokin made 23 saves. Horvat also had two assists, and Brock Nelson finished with three. The Islanders, beginning a four-game trip, are 2 points out of the final wild card in the Eastern Conference. In Jersey, Timo Meier netted a hat-trick and added an assist on an empty net score by Eric Halla. And the Devils beat the St. Louis Blues 4-1 last night, giving New Jersey interim coach Travis Green his first win since replacing Lindy Ruff earlier this week. Devils are 6 points out of a wild card playoff spot with 19 games left in the regular season. They need to put together a bit of a winning streak here soon if they have any playoff aspirations, but it's worth noting that they have not won more than 3 games in a row all season. Meyer's line mates Nico Hischier and Andre Palat also each had 2 assists in his first hat trick since coming to New Jersey in February 2023. Nico Dawes made 23 saves for Jersey, which is coming off a 5-3 decision to Florida on Tuesday night in Green's first game as head coach. That's your sports now, and I'm Justin Elf on 77 WABC.
Hey, Justin, what do you think about this Mike Tyson fight that's going to happen?
And Logan Paul.
He's,
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, their brother, yeah.
Yeah, I think the most interesting part about it is live on Netflix. It's the first live sporting event Netflix is going to be doing. So they're getting into that realm. I don't know why they picked this to be their inaugural, I guess you could say, live sporting broadcast, but I guess it'll rake in money, you know. Jake's valuable monetarily, and of course Mike Tyson is there's a lot of nostalgia there.
Yeah, so I think you bring in the older audience, you bring in the younger audience.
Of course.
I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, now you just got to hope somebody doesn't get hurt. Tyson thinks he can still kick his ass. So.
I think he probably can. I mean, have you seen him? He's fit.
And I see him hitting bags and hitting gloves all the time. But I guess that's different when you got a human being in front of you. But we've seen Tyson, there's a pretty good resume there in terms of Mike Tyson. Jake, Logan Paul, whoever it is, hasn't really done much, I guess you could say.
His only fight against a real boxer he lost.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and his brother's in the WWE, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. But,
I'll watch. I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I will too.
All right. Thanks, Justin. WABC News Time 521. Let's go down to Texas. Thousands of cows have died in the wildfires that have ripped across the Texas panhandle, devastating the largest cattle region in the nation. Experts say this will affect the price of meat at the grocery store.
I think it's safe to say they're going to go up. An incident like this is going to have an upward effect on pricing moving forward.
Rick Avery there. He heads the Texas AgriLife Extension Service. More than 3,600 cows have died since the fires started, and that number expected to double or triple in the coming days.
Yeah, the price of beef already is at a pretty high level. We have economists who are already sussing through the information to see what the ultimate impact will be. This fire event will affect the economy, the ag economy for the region for a long time to come.
521 over to San Diego. Campo is the one of the new hotspots for border crossings in San Diego as Mexico ramps up enforcement south of the border trying to stop these migrants from coming across.
This is people just taking the path of least resistance. Jacumbo was getting a lot of attention, and now with that, people have moved to the Campo entrance or hole in the fence.
That's the supervisor, essentially like a county executive. Jim Desmond says the increased crossings in San Diego are in addition to the 110,000 people that have been dropped off by Border Patrol agents in the county since September. So you think we have problems, they got problems in San Diego too.
It's just like whack-a-mole. We can't keep up. And until we're going to enforce our own laws, we can just expect more of the same, and it just keeps moving around from spot to spot.
Yeah, so the thought is the migrants will keep coming across that border too.
This is just another symptom of a system that's not working. We're just allowing people to cross the border illegally and then ask for asylum and get a court date 3 or 4 years out.
That taking place as the House yesterday passed the Laken Riley Act that requires ICE to detain illegal immigrants who have been arrested for theft or other offenses.
The bill is named after the Georgia nursing student who was killed on the campus of the University of Georgia. An illegal immigrant from Venezuela, Jose Antonio Ibarra, has been arrested and charged in Riley's murder. He was previously arrested in New York, but wasn't detained by ICE after New York officials released him. Georgia Republican Congressman Mike Collins said Riley's murder is another wake-up call as Americans experience an illegal alien crime wave. Collins urged the Senate to take up the bill immediately. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WABC News Time 523. A new poll shows majority of Americans agree with each other on the legality of abortion.
When it comes to abortions, 86% of Americans support a woman's choice to have an abortion as part of a pregnancy-related care, according to a new KFF poll, including nearly 8 in 10 Republicans, despite claims from Democratic candidates. Results also showed Democrats overwhelmingly view abortion as an issue of individual rights and freedom, as well as a health care issue. Meanwhile, Republicans are likely to view the medical procedure that causes death to an embryo or fetus as a moral issue, and more than half of Republicans also say it's a religious issue. Despite heavy media coverage and dramatic campaign ads, only 12% of voters say abortion is the most important issue in their 2024 vote. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
Sweden, now an official NATO member nation, the country's prime minister actually in D.C. yesterday to present the formal documentation for its mission in a ceremony with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken.
Fundamentally, the reason this is such a strong, powerful fit is because Sweden embodies and promotes the core values that are at the heart of NATO.
During the Thursday ceremony, Blinken says everything changed after Russia's invasion of Ukraine and said that Swedes realized Putin might not stop there. So part of the reason they joined NATO.
We see again and again and again that everything Putin sought to prevent, he's actually precipitated by his actions, by his aggression. And there's no clearer example of that than Sweden becoming a member of this alliance.
We're hearing the TSA testing new self-service screening technology at the Las Vegas airport. NBC's Tom Costello has more.
In Las Vegas, the TSA is now testing a self-check point only for pre-check flyers who know the routine by heart.
Done this now, I would say this is faster.
Faster?
Yeah. Is this the future? Could be.
Yeah, so no longer will you a TSA agent view you. You'll use these essentially screens, online computers, to go through TSA.
The challenge is to be able to provide the level of security we need to provide with the changing threat environment that we face and to be as efficient as we possibly can.
Yes, yeah, so far the people trying that out in Las Vegas, giving it the thumbs up, they like it. Oscar Mayer coming out with plant-based hot dogs and sausages.
Hot dog!
The company announced their not hot dogs and not sausages will hit the shelves later this year. It's a joint venture between their parent company, Kraft Heinz, and the Not Company, a food tech company backed by Jeff Bezos. The company told NBC News the plant-based options are made of bamboo fiber, mushroom, pea protein, and acerola cherry.
Well, what a hot dog day!
I'm Michael Kastner.
All right. The 96th Annual Academy Awards, it's Sunday. And the swag bags, the bags that all the people who show up at the Academy Awards get, just get better by the year.
Celebrity guests who make their way across the red carpet will receive an Oscar gift bag filled with a slew of valuable items, according to Distinctive Assets, the Los Angeles-based entertainment marketing company that has put them together for years. The bags include a variety of skincare and wellness products, gourmet popcorn, designer throw pillows, and trips like an all-inclusive stay at a Swiss chalet for up to 10 guests, a 7-day holistic wellness retreat, and a 3-night stay at a private villa in St. Bart's. The 96 Academy Awards are set for this Sunday at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. I'm Michael Kastner.
Michael, you forgot the big part of that story is those bags are worth $170,000 each. That's how much product is in them. Easygoing crooner Steve Lawrence, who of course shot to fame as half of the singing duo of Steve and Edie, passed away yesterday. He was 88 years old.
Award-winning singer and actor Steve Lawrence has died at the age of 88 due to complications from Alzheimer's disease. Lawrence was born in Brooklyn. He and his wife, Edie Gourmet, were staples on TV specials as well as star headliners in Las Vegas as Steve and Edie for years, going back to the early 60s. Edie died in 2013. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
The opening bell, it rings this morning after a higher close yesterday on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 130 points. S&P 500 rose 52. The NASDAQ gained 241 points. Later today, we're going to get word on the monthly jobs report. U.S. economy is forecast to have added some 200,000 jobs in February. If that does hold true, it would be a significant drop from January's report that saw more than 350,000 jobs created.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 532. Good morning. It is Friday, March 8th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sun and clouds today. Yeah, the sun's back. High 54. Then the weekend looks like this. Saturday, clouds in the morning, showers in the afternoon, the high 45. But Sunday, nice one. Sun and clouds, high 52. If you are walking out the door with us right now, and we are so happy you are, 40 and clear in Oyster Bay out on Long Island. It's 37 and clear in Sayreville down in New Jersey. And 39 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this hour up in the Bronx with there's two body part stories. It's crazy that there's even one, but there's two. Of course, that one on Long Island where four people have been arrested for putting body parts of a man and woman in three or four different parks. They, by the way, are not behind bars, which is an amazing story in itself because of bail reform laws. Those four people who are accused of cutting up bodies, they're not accused of killing these people, but still they are accused of cutting up the bodies. They are roaming free today, which is an amazing story itself. Then we have this other story up in the Bronx, which is an amazing in its own way, the person who has been arrested for cutting up body parts inside a Bronx apartment on Tuesday is Sheldon Johnson. He's charged with murder, manslaughter, and criminal possession of a weapon. He's accused of killing and dismembering a man. The gruesome discovery was made Tuesday when police were called to this Highbridge section apartment for a wellness check, and they found a torso and arms inside the apartment. So detectives obtained the search warrant on Wednesday night for Sheldon Johnson's apartment. That's the person they're accusing of carrying out this murder. And then they found the victim's legs and head in a freezer. So the victim we know is 44-year-old Colin Smith. We don't know why Sheldon Johnson allegedly murdered him and then chopped him up. But we do know Sheldon Johnson has an interesting background. First, let's talk about the people at this building who are completely freaked out, of course.
Someone was pleading for their life. She says she heard two gunshots. Someone saying, please don't kill me, I got family, something like that. And then two more gunshots. Pretty quickly. Coming in, coming out of the apartment with different articles of clothes, different wigs, you know. So it's weird. Everything was observed by the surveillance cameras. Right. All those things, I saw.
So there's surveillance camera pictures of Sheldon Johnson, allegedly, walking in and out of the apartment numerous times, sometimes with plastic bags, sometimes wearing wigs, really bizarre stuff. But the story gets even stranger. Sheldon Johnson had served about 25 years behind bars for attempted murder and other charges. He was released and became this celebrity ex-prisoner. In fact, he showed up on Joe Rogan's podcast last month to talk about how he had turned his life around.
I had a wife. I had family still. My son was growing up. He was hearing stories about my so-called notoriety, and I just didn't want to be that dad.
Yeah, so he says once he got out, he was going to be a different guy. He went on to talk about being a former gang member, being released from prison.
Got my GED. I left the gangs alone, which was a benefit for them because, you know, I was what you call an authoritarian. I was a rule guy. I'm still a rule guy. I like rules. You know, I like rules. I like structure.
But now Sheldon Johnson being accused of that guy who walked into this apartment in the Bronx earlier this week, killed a man, chopped his body into pieces, put it in bags, head in the freezer. Weird, strange story. Been a weird week with the body part stuff. No two ways about it. WABC News Time 538. At least 18 New York City employees arrested yesterday for allegedly stealing the identities of New Yorkers to get financial benefits during the COVID pandemic. They're accused of impersonating homeless people at the beginning of the pandemic and using their names to illegally get all that money.
Stealing the identity of New Yorkers, many of them homeless, and defrauding a critical social safety net program during one of the most challenging times in our histories, in our city's history, is downright shameful, and we allege criminal.
Yeah, shameful might not be strong enough word. Stealing money from the homeless who potentially could have gotten these benefits. These suspects include five Department of Homeless Service workers, as well as employees of the NYPD, MTA, NYCHA. Prosecutors believe they're responsible for getting about $1.2 million in fraudulent benefits. This is no small amount of money. Between April of 2020 and October of 2021. More here from DA Alvin Bragg.
They allegedly purchased hundreds of dollars worth of 3D printing machines, 3D printing materials, and ghost gun parts.
Officials say approximately 170 people had their identity stolen. The controversy over that bad call at the buzzer at a high school basketball game in New Jersey, it's in court now, despite the refs saying that they were wrong. This was the buzzer beater between Manasquan High School and Camden High School, the game earlier this week. There's video of Manasquan making a buzzer beater with like about 0.5 seconds on the clock. But the ref said that the ball had not left his hands in time. But now the video shows that it did. So the question is, should Manasquan be given the victory now, even though Camden left the court thinking that they were going to the state finals? So Manasquan High probably did the right thing here. They hired a lawyer to try and stop this because the championship game is on Saturday. So they still have a couple of days. Here is Manasquan's lawyer who took this case to court. His name is Jerry Clark.
The judge ruled that he did not have jurisdiction to do that. The governor or his commissioner of education would have the power to declare Manasquan the proper winner of this game and make this thing right.
So that was Jerry Clark asking a judge in court to pause the championship game on Saturday so they could sort of figure this all out and maybe give Manasquan the win so it's clear that they had won the game. There's video of this kid making this, sinking this basket with 0.5 seconds on the clock to win the game. But Governor Murphy was asked about this. He says, hey, do you have the power to change the outcome of this game? Because there is a sports authority that essentially runs all these high school sports.
It's a crushing way to lose a game.
You don't have to say over whether they can.
I do not.
You don't think they should, or do you think they should?
I got to defer to the body that oversees these things, but it's crushing for those kids.
Yeah, so he wasn't ready to do anything, claims that he doesn't have the capability to do that. The lawyers say they'll continue to fight this thing in court.
We've been putting our heart and soul into this thing for the last 2 days, and that's why, because, you know, justice should be done.
So we're waiting to hear from the sports body of high school sports in New Jersey, who've already said, by the way, that they're not going to overturn this thing. But This is the interesting part of the story. The Camden School that is set to play Arts High in this championship on Newark on Saturday, the superintendent of Newark Schools putting out a letter yesterday saying, you know what? You should delay this game to allow for a full and fair decision, adding that the teams deserve to know that adults who make mistakes can have them corrected. Boy, I think that's big on the part, and the right thing to do, by the way, on the part of Newark School. So essentially, the head of Newark School saying, hey, you should probably watch this video and make a decision, even if it means school body and school system, not theirs, of course, in the end, gets to play in this final game. So we'll have to see how all this works out. But again, this was in court yesterday. Manasquan not taking it lying down. Meanwhile, while we're in New Jersey, a majority of New Jersey residents say they believe Senator Bob Menendez should resign. That, according to a new poll by Monmouth University, the Democrat is facing federal bribery, fraud, and extortion charges. The poll found that 63% of New Jerseyans say the senator should resign, while 33% say he should be allowed to wait and see how the charges against him are settled. Yesterday, Menendez, who, by the way, has denied any wrongdoing, says he will not run in November because his term is up. 543. Let's go out to Brooklyn. Crazy scene at an elementary school there yesterday. NYPD called in after a boy was found with a gun. The weapon found in the possession of an 8-year-old. This was about 10:30 yesterday morning, PS 158 in East New York. The investigation started when a parent came to the school reporting that her child had been menaced with a weapon the day before. And some parents who were showing up to school after classes were dismissed yesterday say they didn't even know anything about this.
They pretty much are on top of things, but with something like this, should have been more, you know, parents should be more aware of.
Yeah, so this kid menaces another kid, this 8-year-old, with a gun. School officials then go over to the boy yesterday, and they find that, yeah, he has a gun in his backpack. So now have cops trying to figure out how he got the gun, if it was from his parents or somewhere else. And then, of course, you have parents saying, what the hell's going on in the school? First of all, how did he get a gun in? Well, I imagine there's no metal detectors at an elementary school. But how they didn't tell the parents after this all took place. Say, hey, send out an email, tell us what took place in school just so we know about it.
Everyone has a different walk in life, you know? So I don't judge that part. What I do judge is the protocol afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't told anything. I still haven't been related to anything other than you guys telling me.
She's right. I mean, the whole thing is you learn this lesson early in life. You know, even if it's bad news, you have to tell somebody. Tell them. It's much better that you tell them than they find out later. New York City Public Schools releasing a statement yesterday calling the incident deeply concerning. Yeah, you think? 545, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Allen.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Start here on the floor in the NBA. Nets fall in Detroit 118-112 to the very lowly 10-win Pistons. Dennis Schroeder had a season-high 31 points for Brooklyn, which had won 3 of 4. Lonnie Walker scored 21. The Nets allowed 13 offensive rebounds and 23 second-chance points. That's where the loss is. Brooklyn got as close as 5 down the stretch. Couldn't get over the hump and are after the eventual loss. The still banged-up Knicks will be back out there tonight at the Garden, set to welcome in the Orlando Magic for 7:30 p.m. tip-off. On the ice in San Jose, Bo Horvat opened a red-hot Islanders 4-goal second period outburst with his 25th goal in a route to New York's 7-2 rout of the San Jose Sharks last night. Good for their fifth straight win. Kyle MacLean, Matthew Barzal, and Sebastian Aho also struck in the second period with the goals coming in just over a five-minute span. Noah Dobson, Alexander Romanov, and Anders Lee also scored for the Isles, and Ilya Sorokin made 23 saves. Horvat also had 2 assists, and Brock Nelson finished with 3. The Islanders beginning a 4-game trip are 2 points out of the final wild card in the Eastern Conference. In Jersey, Timo Meier netted a hat-trick and added an assist on an empty net score by Eric Halla, and the Devils beat the St. Louis Blues 4-1 last night, giving New Jersey interim head coach Travis Green his first win since replacing Lindy Ruff earlier this week. Devils are 6 points out of a wild card playoff spot with 19 games left in the regular season, and they need to put together a bit of a winning streak soon if they have any playoff aspirations. But it's worth noting that this is a team that has not won more than 3 games in a row all season long. Meyer's linemates Nico Hischier and Andre Palat each had 2 assists in his first hat trick since coming to New Jersey in February 2023. Nico Dawes made 23 saves for the Devs, which was coming off a 5-3 decision to Florida on Tuesday night in Green's first game as head coach. That is your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. Did you miss the State of the Union last night? I know if you're listening to me at this early hour, chances are you go to bed early and you're saying, well, yeah, it's just the State of the Union. This was no ordinary State of the Union last night. Lots of interruptions, lots of moments. It started with the president and his motorcade just trying to get to the U.S. Capitol. You had hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters who were blocking his way. Eventually, they were removed. So they shut down Pennsylvania Avenue, were sitting in the street. Eventually, they were moved out. No doubt the president was going to get there on time. He did. He delivered what would best be called a raucous State of the Union. So many interruptions. Lots of applause, too. His list of objectives, of course, pretty long. The biggest one may be to convince people that he may be old, but that he's still in charge. Whether he did that or not depends probably on what side of the aisle you're on. He picked the hot button issues to talk about last night, the red meat stuff for the Democrats like Roe v. Wade.
There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about that.
So it is interesting when you look at polls, abortion is not definitely top of mind for most voters. It is on some people's list. Then he touted his accomplishments with the economy.
Investing in all America, in all Americans, to make every sure everyone has a fair shot. And we leave no one behind. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does.
All right. So talking about the economy, this is where it all got interesting. When the crowd, the people in the gallery and the people even on the House floor got involved, here was the president talking about the mess in the Middle East, the Israel-Hamas war.
For the leadership of Israel, I say this. Humanitarian assistance cannot be a secondary consideration or a bargaining chip. Protecting and saving innocent lives has to be a priority. As we look to the future, the only real solution to the situation is a two-state solution over time.
All right. So I'm guessing that's part of what began to set off my good friend, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg, who was in the gallery last night, was brought in by a local congressman to sit and watch the State of the Union. And he even said here on the air yesterday he didn't know whether he could stay quiet if the president talked about Israel. So in this moment, and I'll play it for you so you can hear it, the president talked about the death toll, and he quoted the Gaza Health Ministry's numbers, which is above 30,000 killed in the fighting. And in the middle of it, Sid yells out the word, says who? And here, I'll play it for you.
More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas.
Yeah, so there, you hear that? I'll play it for you one more time.
More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas.
What I loved about this was Lou's girlfriend. She recognized it was him. I did not. I heard the noise, but I didn't know that it was Sid. So it really was. I know you think I might be thinking I'm joking around, but I'm not. No, Sid yelled out during the State of the Union last night, during that moment when the president was talking about Israel. So the security guards, the sergeant at arms, made sure that Sid was walked out. He was kicked out of the State of the Union. So was the congressman who invited him. Here was Sid afterwards.
This is my first State of the Union tonight, and boy, it turned out to be epic. At one point, President Biden actually quoted figures given out by the Palestinian Health Group, whatever they're called, and he said 30,000 Palestinians are dead. And in a moment of silence in the chamber, I screamed, says who? Which was followed by about three security guys and Secret Service rushing into the chamber, grabbing me by the arm and telling me to leave. And I said, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. Those children in their white outfits like kindergartners are yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. I said two words. So says who? I'm not leaving. They said, sir, if you don't leave, you're under arrest. So eventually I did leave. They gave me a warning. They didn't arrest me. So I'm outside this beautiful place with Anthony D'Esposito and Nick Langworthy. But I'll say this. Did Biden lie? All night. Israel, chai. We love you, Israel. And I do it again next time.
All right. So make sure you're listening 6 minutes from now. Sid's going to tell you the whole story. That's just a small piece of it. He wasn't the only one, by the way, interrupting the State of the Union. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene dared Biden to say the name Lincoln Riley. And he did, of course, he got it wrong, and she yelled out,
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman.
I don't know if you heard that. He called her Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
So you hear the Marjorie Taylor Greene there yelling in the background. There was also another heckler, no doubt you probably did hear if you were watching last night. This heckler shouting, the father of a fallen Marine. He was arrested for disrupting the State of the Union, but he was let go. His name is Steve Nikoi, and his son was killed in Afghanistan. So here's what it sounded like last night.
We made the largest investment in public safety ever. Last year, the murder rate saw the sharpest decrease in history. The day when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%.
There he is.
30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then. Through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest.
So Nikoi's son, Lance Corporal Kareem Nikoi, was killed by a suicide bomber outside Kabul's international airport while trying to process evacuees from the Biden administration's botched Afghanistan withdrawal, you'll remember, in August of 2021. Not sure who he was invited by, but there he was last night. He was taken out. Essentially, what he was given, they arrested him, they let him go, and they gave him a $50 fine. And then you had the response, as there always is now, to the State of the Union. Of course, this time it's the Republicans, since the Democrats in the White House. It was Alabama Senator Katie Britt delivering the Republican response.
One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch.
She called the president dithering and diminished.
President Biden just doesn't get it. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable.
So that response, of course, right after the State of the Union. And one more crazy moment from last night. George Santos was there, the congressman, who, by the way, says he's going to run for office again. So we'll get more on that, I'm sure, as the morning wears on as well. Again, make sure you're listening. Just a couple of minutes from now, you'll get the latest on what it was like to be in the chamber and then be pulled out of that chamber by our very own Sid Rosenberg.